Jenna was jolted awake by her breath forcing up a shout. She was breathing hard, eyes wide, her vision distorted in the lens of a nightmare. In the confused seconds between dream and waking, she could never move her body. Slowly, the dim dimensions of the room took shape. Steam hissed softly in the radiators, and the distant chimes of the clock tower counted the hour. She sighed and closed her eyes again. Her hand was at her neck. It was there, the thin silver necklace with a tiny silver tiger. It was always there. She threw off the duvet, feeling the chill air settle on her perspiring body like a linen veil. An indent formed silently next to her on the bed. Amber-green eyes made mirrors in the faint light. Cat had materialized from nowhere, another dimension, as if summoned by the chimes. "Hey," she said, stroking his head. The clock radio switched a digit. Secretary of State has condemned the launch as a highly provocative act that threatens the region's security. The kitchen tiles were icy beneath her bare feet. She poured milk for Kat, microwaved the cold coffee she found in the pot, and then sipped it, steeling herself for the backlog of voicemails on her phone. Dr. Levy had called to confirm her appointment for 9 a.m. The editor of East Asia Quarterly wanted to discuss the publication of her paper and asked ominously if she'd heard this morning's news. The older messages were in Korean and all from her mother. She skipped through them to the original one, an invitation to lunch in Annandale on Sunday, in which her mother sounded dignified and hurt, and Jenna felt guilt rise inside her like acid reflux. Cradling her coffee, she stared out at the gloom of her yard, but saw only the bright interior of her kitchen reflected in the window. She had to force herself to accept that the hollow-eyed, underweight 30-year-old staring back at her was herself. She found her sneakers and running pants in a heap beneath the piano stool, tied her hair back, and headed out into the cold on O Street, meeting the mailman's unsmiling stare. "That's right, buddy. I'm black, and I live in this neighborhood." She started to run through the half-tones beneath the trees, down to the towpath. Georgetown had a sleepy hollow feel this morning. A chill nor'easter carried leaves across a brushed steel sky. Pumpkins leered from windows and doorsteps. She was sprinting before she'd even warmed up, the breeze from the canal blowing the bad dream from her hair. The man gave a weary smile. "We won't get anywhere if you won't talk to me." Beneath the coaxing, Jenna sensed the bedrock of his boredom. On the notebook resting on his knee, he'd succumbed to a doodle. She was focusing on a pastry crumb lodged in his beard just to the right of his mouth. "You say it's the same nightmare?" She exhaled slowly. "There are always variations, but it's basically the same. We've been over it many times." Without thinking, she touched the necklace at her throat. "If we don't get to the heart of it, you'll keep having it." Her head slumped back on the couch. She searched the ceiling for words, but found none. He rubbed the bridge of his nose beneath his glasses and looked at her with a kind of exasperation and relief, as if he'd reached the edge of the map and could abandon the journey with a clear conscience. He closed his notebook. "I'm wondering if you'd be better off seeing a bereavement counselor. Maybe that's what's wrong here. You're still feeling your loss. It's been 12 years, I know. But with some of us, time heals more slowly." "No, thank you." "Then what are we doing here today?" "I'm out of praises in." "We've talked about this," he said with an exaggerated patience. "Praises in won't address the original trauma that's causing your—" She got up and reached for her jacket. She had on her white shirt and slim-fit black pants, her work clothes. Her shiny black hair was tied back in a loose knot. "I'm sorry, Dr. Levy. I have a class in a few minutes." He sighed and reached for the pad on his desk. "All my patients call me Dawn, Jenna," he said, scribbling. "I've told you that."